Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to our worship this morning. We hope you've had a good week and a good weekend. We're here to hear a word, the word of the Lord, and we're here to receive His promise in word and sacrament. We're glad you're here with us. We pray for those that are traveling and under the weather, but let us share a couple prayer requests, and then we'll jump into the worship. For announcements, the women will not, and the men, we were going to meet beginning August the 4th at the Ashwell House. The women in the home and the men in the smokehouse, which is a real treat out below, behind. Because Carolyn had to go this week to West Virginia, we're going to bump that. So we won't begin meeting there until the 11th. But we are meeting this week. And the women are going to a different format, a format that the men have found very beneficial and has been a joy for the last 5 or 6 years. And Sherry had a good idea. The men are meeting this week at the Banky's house on Powhatan off Timberlake Road at 7 o'clock. Any of you women who are participating, you're free to come and to just observe how the men do it. I thought that was a good idea, isn't it? Just wonderful that she wants to come and see how we do it. And
I don't know about that.
I just said, how do the men feel about that?
Men are. I talk to some of the men there. As long as the women come and just watch, you know, like. But because Ann always provides some type of homemade refreshment for us, she wants to get a rough head count. So if you're coming, either let Sherry or me know. Well, it'll be a great time. And I really think the women will enjoy studying the book of Philippians. Also, I have a request for you. I've got some strengths, but I've got a lot of weaknesses. And one of them is I'm pretty absent-minded. And I got a call yesterday afternoon with a lady whose father insisted that when he died, I do his funeral. And I don't, to my knowledge, I don't know him from Adam. And I've reached out to my mother. He worked for the city for a long time, but let's keep the family of, and if you know him, please talk to me because I would love to learn more about him. His name was Bob Torrance. He was 87. He worked at the city for about 40 years. He loved to fly planes in New London.
His obituary is in this morning's paper.
I've read that, but I'd love to talk to someone that maybe might know him. I still don't know how I know him, or he knows me, but I'm doing his funeral Tuesday, so keep it in prayer, and if you know him, let me know. And then, any other announcements before we go into prayer requests? Any announcements? All right, we're going to do something. We're going to have a song before the songs. I just found out a few minutes ago. We had a nice birthday party Friday night for someone who turned 50. And I don't remember turning 50, but I do remember turning 15. That was a big day. You know, you're no longer a little teenager. You're a real... And Heather Roberts, I mean Cheyenne Roberts, see I told you I'm out of mind. Cheyenne Roberts is turning
right.
Robert Wright.
We'll just push reset. Cheyenne Wright is turning 15 years old. Stand up, Cheyenne. Let us sing happy birthday to Cheyenne. Any prayer requests as we can go now to prayer requests? Anyone like to share any prayer requests? Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep Wayne as a caregiver and Nikki. Nikki's battling severe MS, and we just want to keep her in prayer. She's a beautiful, very artistic. If you're on Facebook, go to Nikki Williams Vogt, V-O-I-G-H-T.
V-O-T-T.
Okay, V-O-G-T. Yeah. But she's a beautiful, artistic young woman who's trapped within a body that's declining. So let's just keep Nikki, Wayne, the whole family in prayer. Thank you, brother. Yes, sir.
I got two friends in Florida, Chris and Diane Campbell. Chris was here a couple of weeks ago to visit me by motorcycle. And his wife is in the hospital with a severe case of COVID. She's on a respirator. She's been there a week. And I talked to Chris yesterday, and he sounded terrible. He's got it now. So pray for both of them.
Thanks, Larry.
She came close to losing her a couple of times already.
Thank you, Larry. We'll definitely keep Chris and Diane in our prayers. Any others? Yes, ma'am.
Jane Blankenship. She's real confused now.
Just keep her. Saw a hand somewhere. Yes, sir, David.
I'd like to have some additional prayer for Yvette's daughter, Sylvia. She was having a really tough time yesterday. I think she probably felt as bad as she's felt since she discovered she has cancer.
And we will definitely keep Sylvia in our prayers.
And Andy Vett's grandson, Camden, as well. Great-grandson, Camden.
Okay.
He's still struggling with
problems. And is it Jean, your brother, Jean Perry? How's he doing?
Yeah, Jean-Pierre is doing a little bit better, but he has to go to the nursery home because he cannot stay by himself.
And one of the things I love about this church is personally for me, it turned a distant cousin into a real close brother. And I've loved the fact that the pandemic has gotten to the point where David and Yvette can be back with us. I mean, we're glad to have you back. Any others? Yes, ma'am, Katie.
My dear neighbor, Nancy Robinson, has had Lyme disease for over a year. And she is really not, she can hardly walk.
She's a young one. Okay. Let's keep Nancy in our prayers. Any others? All right. Yes, ma'am.
So I just need you to pray for all my girls. Christy Duke, her name has been on the list. That's Ashley's mom who's been living in Virginia Beach and broke her hip. But this is a blessing report. Ashley and Willow are down there packing her up. And she's moving back to town, so it'd be easier for Ashley to attend. She's good, but she could be close. Then Jeannie has not felt well since Thursday, but she worked really hard this week. And it's those cold-like symptoms that they're saying on the TV that could be COVID. So it has me a little nervous. We've all had our vaccinations. And then Maggie is with her dad and two little stepbrothers at Virginia Beach. And she texted me, Granny, they have made me psychotic.
When is she coming home?
Tuesday.
Good. Best thing to do with a psychotic person is leave. So I'm glad she's coming back home, but we'll keep Maggie in prayer until then. Thank you, Mona, and thank you for your ministry and music for us. Any other prayer requests? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Father, we come to you calling you Father because we are children. And as children, we're brothers and sisters together. We are truly family. And that is not just another belief in a cadre of tenets of the faith. That is a lived reality. That is that which provides strength and comfort and support for us. Being connected in a world of alienation, a world of conflict, a world where each seems to be out only for themselves, and we can at times feel quite alone. We are so grateful that when you called us to yourself, you didn't call us to come alone, but you called us to come in a family, the body of Christ, and we thank you for that. And as your children, we laugh when each other laughs, we rejoice when the other rejoices, and we share the tear that's shed for different concerns. We thank you for physical improvement, so we thank you for Christy, and we thank you for birthday celebrations, for Jen's and for Cheyenne's. We thank you just for the goodness of seeing your hand at work. We also ask that you would be with those that are struggling, either in mind or body or estate. We pray that you would draw close, directly encourage and comfort, and be with those that surround, that they would be agents of your comfort and grace. We pray that you would continue to be with Nikki. We just thank you for her spirit that seems to shine through. We just pray that you will comfort and strengthen her and Wayne and all those around. We pray that you'd be with Chris and Diane. We just pray that you will touch them with healing. Be with Jean as she's walking a difficult path of decline and dementia. Just be with her. Bring comfort and a level of acceptance of things that she can't change. And be with those that surround her for care. Give them strength. We pray that you'd be with Sylvia. We just hate cancer. It's such a struggle, and it strikes, it seems sometimes, those just in the prime of life. And we just pray that you'd be with Sylvia. We just pray that you'll bring healing and strength and comfort. Encourage her. Encourage her family, and in particular, lift up Yvette and David as they watch. And we know it's often painful to watch loved ones struggle. So draw close to them. We pray that you'd be with Camden and with Jean. Continue in both different situations to bring healing and comfort. We pray that you continue to be with Katie's neighbor Nancy. We just pray that you'll bring healing to her. We thank you for her life, and pray that you would, your presence would be quite evident there. We pray that you would be with Jeannie. Just continue to bring healing there. We pray and claim that it's not COVID. It's just something that will pass. And we pray that you'd be with her family. Be with Maggie. Put a hedge of protection around her. Thank you that we can always come home to a place of greater security and sanity. We just thank you for your love in the midst of all of life. And because you are with us as the risen Lord, we can face the living of the day. We can face it with hope. We can face it with joy. For we know that where we are, your spirit is present, and we give you thanks. In the name of your Holy Son, amen. It's in that name that we gather, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the willing Spirit.
Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
If you'll look with me to the insert, we will use a few verses from Psalm 145 to call each to worship. All your works praise you, O Lord, and your faithful servants bless you.
They may know the glory of your kingdom and speak of your power.
That the peoples may know of your power and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all ages.
The Lord is faithful in all his words and merciful in all his deeds.
Then the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I might test them, for that they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who sent you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us? And Moses said, When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumbled against him. What are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine, flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be. Child hiding from parents. But you see, you are aware. We are never away from your presence. That can be a source of conviction. That can be an uncomfortable truth. But we pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit that you would work within us to acknowledge your presence, to gratefully thank you that we are always in the sight of the one to whom we have to give a due, and to live in absolute and radical dependence upon the only one who is the Creator God. We're grateful, Father, that we don't have to figure life out. We're grateful that we don't have to make it work. We're grateful that it's not up to us. It's simply ours to pray to the Father, asking that your mighty and merciful hand will continue to work in our hearts and lives and the hearts and lives of all your children around the world. So truly, we are praying to you as your children. And as your children, we're bold to pray the prayer that our Savior gave us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The second reading for today is from Ephesians. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. the one high and lifted up, we give our praise. Amen.
Gospel reading is John chapter 6, verses 22 through 35. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place, for they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father set his seal." They then said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Thus saith the Lord."
Praise be to thee,
O Christ.
You may be seated. May we pray together. Our gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, your day, a day where we set aside to rest, to confess by our resting that you are the one who has done all things. You are the Creator God, not just way back then, but right now, here and now. For today is the day of salvation. We thank you for your present work in our midst. And we thank you that because you neither sleep nor slumber, we can sleep and be still and know that you are God. Bless our time together. May your word be glorified, we ask in your name. Amen. Sort of ironic, and I don't normally do this because I'm a fairly routine person, that on a Sunday in which the topic is I believe in the Holy Spirit, that from the sort of the beginning of the service, I sort of knew I'm going to preach a different sermon than what I have up here. Now, what I have up here is really good. If you want it, I'll make you copies and you can. But I don't like to lie. And we lie sometimes, don't we? And I don't mean bald-faced lies, but have you ever sent a card to somebody and it really didn't, that's why they make humorous cards. So you don't have to lie. We lie. Has anyone ever said, "How are you doing?" Or, "Do you mind me dropping by for a few minutes?" We want to put our best foot forward. And I was singing this hymn along with all of you, and I want it to be true. But Lord, I want to be a Christian. I want to be more loving. I want to be like Jesus. And I'm reading this, and in truth, and singing it, I should say, in truth, it just hit me because of the way I have been focused and studying this week on the Holy Spirit. I might want it, but I can't do it. Can you? Can you be more loving? Well, you can if you stay at home, huh?
But you can try.
You can try. But can you do it? No. If you're like me, we're like Paul. And we have to say, as he did in Romans 7, those good things I want to do, I can't do. And those things I don't want to do, I keep doing. Or in that wonderful general confession in the Book of Common Prayer, you know, the things I ought to do, I don't. And the things I ought not to do, I go back to like a dog returning to his vomit, and there's just no health in me. A good friend of mine he and I used to ride motorcycles a lot together, has on the personalized license plate of his truck, and you may have seen it around town. And I used to tease him that it was a lie, and his license plate says, "Yes, I can." And I'd go, "Tom, I know you. No, you can't." Now, I understand, and let me give a caveat, I understand, like Mona pointed out, understand like that bumper or license plate tries to make it, that there is a point on the horizontal plane where we need to have a positive attitude and a can-do spirit, and I understand all that. But I'm talking about this vertical plane. I'm talking about the more eternal discipline of being like Jesus. Being more loving. Being a Christian. The truth of the confession, when we say, "I believe in the Holy Spirit," is really a confession that we can't do it. We cannot do it. If you'll look with me, I was going to have you close with it, but if you'll look with me, I put in the insert from our small catechism, the explanation of the third article. And we'll say this in a few moments. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian or Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? And it starts off clearly saying, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ. I can't do it. I cannot believe in Jesus Christ. I cannot be a Christian in my heart, more loving in my heart, or like Jesus in my heart, unless I do, and the only thing I can do, the second hymn we sang, which was what? Kumbaya, which is translated what?
Come by here.
Come by here. Come to me. See, the only way that we can be a Christian, the only way that we can be more loving, the only way that we can be more like Jesus or even believe in Jesus is to, from the heart, cry out to Jesus and ask for Him. We read, or Judy read in the Ephesians passage, that He came to give gifts. And the truth of the matter is, she listed in Paul's letter of Ephesians, several gifts are listed that are given to the church. We can look to Galatians and see the fruit of the Spirit. We can look to Corinthians and see different gifts of the Spirit. And all of the expressions of the gifts are wonderful. But the truth of the matter is, it's not so much the gifts that God gives us. They're just manifestation of the gift that God gave to us, which is Himself. You ever received a gift from someone, but you knew their heart wasn't in it? You got gifts, but they withheld that which was most essential. They didn't give themselves. And what we see here, what we see in Ephesians, what we see in what Jen read in John, is that it's not the loaves that are the blessing. It's Christ who with Him brings all things. It wasn't the manna from Moses. We read in John 6. The manna didn't come from Moses. Moses couldn't do it. Who did it? God. He is the one. He is the one. So the gift is God Himself. There's a hymn that I'm going to use and was going to use anyway to outline our sermon. And it's not in our hymnal. It's a wonderful hymn by an Anglican minister. It's called Holy Spirit Ever Dwelling. And I want to read through that. I'm not going to sing it, but I want you to give ear to me as I speak, because this is a wonderful expression, and it will outline my thoughts this morning. It has three verses, and as normal, my sermon will have 3 points. The first verse, Holy Spirit, ever dwelling, in this holiest realms of light, Holy Spirit ever brooding, over a world of gloom and night. Holy Spirit ever raising those of earth to thrones on high, living, life-imparting Spirit, you we praise and magnify. The first thing that we see is that, as we heard in John 6, is that the Spirit gives life. We are here because the Spirit came to us. God not only created the cosmos, He invaded the cosmos. He not only created your being, He invaded your world and saved you and brought His Spirit. We read in 1 Corinthians 12:3, and if we don't understand it at this deeper level, it doesn't make sense. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12:3 that no one can say Jesus is Lord unless the Spirit or by the Holy Spirit. Well, if you just read that on the physical plane, it's not telling the truth, is it? I can go up to any stranger and say, hey, here's $100. Can you say Jesus is Lord? And I guarantee you, everyone I come up to, if they speak English, will be able to say Jesus is Lord. But what we're understanding is that this true level, this reality of God's economy, is apart from the Spirit of God, I don't even have the ability to believe that God is who He says He is. If you love God, if you love God just a little bit, if you want to be better today than you were yesterday, if you want to be more loving, if you want to be more Christ-like, if you want to see more of Christ in your life, just a little bit, it didn't come from you. I hate to pop your bubble, but it didn't come from your good intentions. That was a gift of the presence of the gift. The indwelling Holy Spirit, like John Wesley, who said, is strangely warming our heart over. For apart from the Spirit, there is no life. Jesus says in John 6 that the Spirit is that which gives life. A.W. Tozer, a great Christian and Missionary Alliance pastor, he said years ago, decades ago, that one of the greatest tragedies in the current modern church is that the Holy Spirit could be withdrawn today, and the church, most churches, would just continue to function like they were. Because we're really not actively dependent on the fact that we can't do it. We buy into this thought that if we just play our cards right, or we plan it properly, or we're somehow creative, or we pull the right strings, or we talk to the right people, or we work the right angles, that we can make it work. And you're here this morning, and when we come, we start with confession, don't we? Because whether we want to admit it or not, with Paul in Romans 7, we've got to confess, we can't make it work, can we? We can't make it work. We can't bring healing where we see struggling and pain. We can't bring peace where we see chaos and confusion. We can't bring unity where we see division and strife. I can't keep my mouth shut as I'm driving. We can't do it. kumbaya. Come by here. Come, Lord, and do in me only that which you can do. Because I can't. Only the Spirit can give life. The second verse reads and sings this way. Holy Spirit, ever living, as the church's very life. Holy Spirit, ever striving through us in ceaseless strife. Holy Spirit, ever forming in the church the mind of Christ. You we praise with endless worship for your gifts and fruits unpriced. The first point we see is the Spirit gives life. The second point is the Spirit is the only one that can work ministry. The Spirit is the only one that can form Christ in you or in our church. The Spirit is the one who equips us. One of the most successful, as far as we would measure that, preachers in history was the great English Baptist preacher of the 19th century, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And Spurgeon wrote in his journal, "The most important thing I do every week, I do as I'm taking the steps to go up to the pulpit of my church. I confess one line from the Apostles' Creed." Spurgeon said as he walked up the steps, he simply said, "I believe in the Holy Spirit." Because if we didn't have that belief that God could do it through us in the Holy Spirit, we might as well stay home. Our voices would be just tingling brass. Our attempts to love others would be manipulative. If it wasn't for that Holy Spirit that's doing it in us, doing it in us. What a wonderful phrase. I believe in the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful to say that in church. You know where else you need to confess that? You need to confess that when you're in the doctor's office. You need to confess that in the boardroom or the courtroom. You need to confess that in your home. You need to confess that when you're feeling lonely and alienated and confused. I believe in the Holy Spirit. It's not up to me. We hear. If it is to be, it's up to me. That's not God's economy. Kumbaya. Come by here. The third verse. Holy Spirit ever working through the church's ministry, quickening, strengthening, and absolving, setting captive sinners free. Holy Spirit, ever binding, age to age and soul to soul, in communion never ending, you we worship and extol. The Spirit gives life, the Spirit works ministry, and the third thing we see is the Spirit is the only one that establishes unity. The Spirit is the only one that establishes union. Now, I use the word establish because as we read and what Judy read, we are to work to be eager to maintain the unity. The Holy Spirit doesn't create the unity. The unity of all things was planned by God the Father and it was accomplished by God the Son, right? Remember in Ephesians 2, in His own body, He destroyed all the walls. So it has been accomplished. It has been purchased, but it's the Holy Spirit that establishes it. Paul gives us a wonderful freeing verse. In Romans, we're told by Paul that we are to live at peace with all people. Now, if he didn't add a phrase right after that, that would be a daunting command. But if you remember that in Romans 14, it says, "Live at peace with all people as much as it is possible with you." Without raising hands or calling out names, are you at peace with everyone in your life? Do you have sweet fellowship and unity with everyone? Are you like me and you can think of family members or friends or previous co-workers or previous neighbors or just anyone where the relationship just isn't what you would want it to be? You don't see what Christ died for evident. You don't see that unity. You don't see that koinonia. Well, you can't do it. We've tried, haven't we? We've tried to sweet talk. We've tried to cajole. We've tried to argue. We've tried to do everything we can. And at the end of the day, I believe in the Holy Spirit. So if we can't do it, and He's the only one that can, just like Jesus said with the bread and the water, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. But if we can't and He can, what do we need to do? Ask. James tells us, you have not because you ask not. We simply need to ask. And that's where we come to prayer. That's where we come to that hymn, Kumbaya. I need to spend more time praying for the Holy Spirit to be operative in my life than me seeking to roll up my sleeve and be operative in my life. Now, they're not mutually exclusive. I understand, again, on that horizontal plane, that we are called to do that which we are called to do, our vocation. We are called to obey. But you can't do it. Neither can I. So we ask. We ask. One of my most beautiful things that we see here is if you trace the concept of calling upon God, it's a principle in biblical hermeneutics, or the interpretation of Scripture. It's called the law of first mention. It's beneficial to go and see the first time something is mentioned and see what the context is. Do you know the first time we're told that people called upon the Lord? It's in Genesis 4, the end of Genesis 4. And if you think, well, what's the context there? Well, right before Genesis 4 is Genesis 3, and that great fall where Adam and Eve couldn't even keep away from one tree. As we think of difficulties in our lives, I've read that many times and I thought, why couldn't you avoid one tree? He said, everything in the garden is yours to enjoy. Just leave this tree be. And then I look in the mirror and I think with Paul, I can't do it. Neither could Adam and Eve. And then in the first part of Genesis 4, after the fall of all men, we see the fall of one man is Cain slew Abel. And two men died. Abel died at the hands of Cain, and then Cain had a mark upon him. And it was in this context of the brokenness of this world that we live in this context of everything getting off track, that people began to call upon the Lord. Makes sense, right? We call upon the one who can. When the coming of the Holy Spirit, that which we believe in, and I want to read that context from Joel 2. You know that Pentecost in Acts 2 is a fulfillment of the prophecy given in Joel. And in Joel, if you'll allow me to read, I'm going to pick up in verse 28. And I want you to listen for this whole concept of Kumbaya, calling upon the Lord. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, even on the male and female servants. In those days I will pour out my Spirit. And we know in Acts 2, we're in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, there's another hymn. It's called Sweet Hour of Prayer. And it has this line. Oh, what peace we all would always forfeit. We give it away because we don't take it in prayer. We do want to be more like Jesus. We do want to be more loving. We do want the desire of our heart to be a Christian, to have Christ formed in us. And we do not. Where the source and strength of that comes. And we do know where and who the only one that can do that is. So we ask, come upon us, Holy Spirit. You'll hear that in a few moments. In this setting, it's called the epiclesis. Come. We ask the Holy Spirit to come. And when we do, it can transform simple bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. And when you ask it in your life, it can transform radically sinful and conflicted people like you and me into people that really want to be more like Christ in our hearts. Amen?
Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together. Let us use the words of the Apostles' Creed together, brothers and sisters. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
Join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
For giving and restoring God, we thank and praise you, because you make the gifts of your creation into the means of our redemption. And you turn our fallen folly into the occasion of your risen glory. In Christ the Lamb, you gave us everything you had, though we strayed from your ways and slayed your Holy One. Yet you set before us this gracious banquet, in which that crucified and risen Lamb reconciles us with you. And so we live in gratitude for your mercy and in praise of your grace, joining the company of heaven in their constant hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Faithful Father, in Christ you give us the food that will never perish, but endures for eternal life. Give us this bread always, that coming to you, your people will never be hungry, and believing in you, your people will never be thirsty. Bless us with the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. May the Spirit come, that this bread and this wine be for us the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all, make your church humble, gentle, and patient, living a life worthy of its calling. Yet you summon apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for their work of ministry. for building up the body of Christ. Empower your people for service and build your church up in love. Draw all who look to you with hope into unity of faith, growing together into the full stature of Christ. Renew your servants in the gifts of ministry, and bless any who labor and are heavy laden by surrounding them with the joyous companionship of your saints, until all who share in one Lord, one faith, and one baptism are one in unity before your throne. Everlasting God, Trinity of perpetual peace.
Amen. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I love to bring people back when terms that are historic to the church are used in more modern ways. And I've had people through the years sometimes, visitors ask, how come your church doesn't do altar calls? And I always give a dumb look. And I say, we do an altar call. We do an altar call every Sunday. We do an altar call the way the church has historically, through its faith, done an altar call. We may not do it in the way you understand and define that word from the mere last 200 years, but we do an altar call. For I, as a called minister of God, tell you that this is the table of the Lord prepared for you, a gift of his own hand, as he gives himself to us. And I call all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come and to receive. You don't take communion. You kumbaya. You come forward and with hands in a beggar's mode, you receive the goodness of the Lord as he freely gives it to all who will come. Come and receive the very gift of our Savior.
Thank you.
Our gracious Lord, we thank you for giving unto us all things. We thank you for your mercy in withholding not even yourself, but you gave. For we know, as we remember the words of our Savior, that your giving to us was because you loved the world. Come upon us. We ask this, believing your promise, receiving your word, trusting in your goodness, both now and forevermore. Amen. Let us stand and sing our last hymn. Give us strength to follow you, so that knowing you, we may truly love you. And loving you, we may fully trust you. And to trust you is perfect freedom. Through Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to serve in the Lord. Amen.